Minutes. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Good evening. That was fantastic. I just think I'm really humbled to be asked, surprised, to come and just share something with you this evening. That was just great. You know, it's been a lovely weekend. There's lots of lovely things to do on lovely sunny days, and I've indulged in some of them. I've had the odd ice cream. Yesterday I had a vanilla. Today I went lemon. And there's nothing better than to spend time with God. And that was just, it's just fabulous to be here. And I just pray that nothing I say takes away from what God's already doing in your hearts and your lives. I've spent the last couple of days at the big church day out just over the hill. And there's thousands of people there that are doing something very similar to this. And what just really encouraged me is that God's with them and he's with us. And, you know, the power of God isn't limited to the here and now. So when you leave today, then God's with you. And that's exciting, because it's great to worship together, but sometimes you're on your own. But God is always with you. I haven't started yet. We're going to look at God's word, because this is the really important bit, not what I say. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Now, Jason said it was short. I thought he was going to call me short, but I was just standing down on the floor. I'm actually sporting an injury today. I kind of hobbled up. It's related to an inflatable assault course. I was trying to race my six-year-old. He won. And I lost and got injured. Sarah says, maybe God's trying to tell me something about my age, possibly my weight. Let's have a go. Let's read together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And it's so good and it's so short. Going to read it twice. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It reads, and I'll do it again, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, it's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I've got no lectern. Sometimes at this point people take off their watch and put it on there and you go, oh dear, I've just got several bits of scatty paper. No, I'd just be inclined to sing. So we'll go like that. Normally Jason is very kind of ICT proficient and looks all very professional. I just look terrible. We've read that together. I just want to ask a question. I wonder whether you've ever been locked in anywhere, locked in something. Where was that, Jason? At work. You weren't just skiving. I was once told to go and sit in a toilet for 5 hours at work when I was working for Vauxhall, because I worked there for about 3 hours, and it was, you'd pull along a roll cage, open it up, there might be one item in it. I was on quality control for the summer, looked at it, put it in a new box, and ticked a sheet. I had to do 12 of those in a day. Yeah, but like 20 minutes in, I'd done 12. So I was told to go in the toilet. It wasn't my locked in thing, though. I mean, you might have been locked in other places as well as toilets. Maybe a wardrobe. I remember playing hide and seek with my brothers and sisters, and me and my brother got in the wardrobe, and the wardrobe fell over, and the doors were kind of down on the floor. And you go through a range of emotions when you're locked into something. First of all, there's the struggle. Goes on for quite a while sometimes, the struggle. And then there's maybe the realization that there's no way out. Maybe then there's the fear and the acceptance. And then you kind of play out the consequences. What if no one ever comes and lets me out of the toilet? What if this is my lot? This is here in a toilet, in a wardrobe. We normally got ourselves into fixes, and they're normally our own fault. Or sometimes maybe you're not locked in something, maybe you're locked out of something. You want to get in somewhere and you can't get in. And maybe you try to get in the church at some point and you can't get in. You haven't got a key. You've lost something. A couple of years ago, I took my family to Mallorca and we left in the middle of the night and we whisked our kids out of bed, still half asleep, and put them in the car and put everything in the car. And I went back to the house and it was completely dark. And I thought, clearly, everything has been done that needs to be done in this house. All I therefore have to do is to close the door. So I dutifully did my service and I closed the door. I got in the car and we'd probably driven about 7-8 meters. And my wife says, "You got the keys?" "I don't need to because you've got them." She didn't have the keys. I closed the door. Technically my fault. I thought, we're not going to worry about that. We're going to go on holiday. I also forgot to bring any shoes for my daughter. And it was a bank holiday. Spent 4 days barefoot. But when we returned to the house and tried to get in the house, we couldn't. We couldn't. For a long time, we couldn't get in the house. Until my wife managed to break in. Something you may not know about my wife. Very good at breaking into houses. I don't know what that points to, but she's very good. Sometimes we're locked in some things. Sometimes we're locked out of some things. And the Bible says there that we need to be saved. It says it is by grace you have been saved. Because without that grace, we're not saved. We're captives. What are we captive to? We're captive to our sin, to our rebellion against God. We're locked out as a result of God's presence, God's peace, God's joy, God's forgiveness. We're not experiencing all that God has for us, and ultimately, we're not part of his kingdom. And we are captive to sin, held by our rebellion against God. And it's almost like our hands are chained together in sin. So let's set ourselves free. If it's sin that's holding us, if it's our rebellion against God that's holding us captive, let's do some things to set ourselves free. Let's go to church. Let's sing songs of praise. Let's watch songs of praise. Let's have praying hands. Let's be moral. Let's be good. Let's trim our hedges so they're not an offense to our neighbors. Let's do things that will make us seem like we're good. And then maybe people will think we're good. And then maybe God might go, "Oh, they're good. I'm gonna save them. I'm gonna set them free. Because they're so good. They always wear trousers in church. They're so good. They're so good." Sometimes we almost encourage each other just to do something to try and please God, impress God. Maybe there's people you know that aren't trying to please God. Maybe you're not trying to please God, but you're trying to be a people pleaser and you're trying to be good, be a good neighbor, be a good friend, just being good. But the Bible says there that it is by grace we have been saved. But sometimes we have a sense of entitlement. If we work hard or try hard or do a little bit better or make some kind of resolution that we're going to change that habit or we're going to do that thing we find difficult to do. That if we work hard enough and apply ourselves and try hard, then maybe we'll have a sense of entitlement and we deserve something. People say, "Oh, you deserve to get good grades. You've worked hard in your exams. You deserve to get a good job. You deserve to get a break. It's been really tough for you. You deserve this. You're really nice. You know, you deserve something." But actually, we don't deserve God's favor. We don't deserve God's gift of salvation. And the Bible says that actually what we deserve in terms of what we earn, the wages of our life is actually death. That's what we actually deserve. God doesn't treat us as we deserve. We don't deserve to be set free. We can't work our way free. Jesus sets us free. And that isn't fair. That's grace. God actually doesn't treat us fairly. He's not fair to us. He's more than fair. Fair doesn't even cut it. Grace is getting what we don't deserve.
And it is a gift. You can't earn it. And we don't deserve it. And it's a free gift. It's not worked for. It's given to us through faith in Jesus. He gives us. And grace is enough. It's more than we need. We sing some songs about these kind of things. It's not grace plus anything. We just have to come to Jesus. We can't do anything to earn it. It's enough. And you may have heard that message for years, but you can't hear it enough because part of us doesn't actually believe it, because it is too good. God's love is too good. His grace is almost too much for us to bear and understand. It is overwhelming. And it is enough. We actually deserve to be captive. We deserve death. Jesus gives us life. We deserve punishment. He gives us forgiveness. We deserve captivity, but he gives us freedom. And it's a gift. It's not about being good enough for God. He's good enough for all of us. Let's believe it. Let's claim this. Let's believe in Jesus. Let's receive this gift of grace. He says, it is by grace you have been saved. He sets you free from your sin through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, his perfect sacrifice. For all of us, he sets us free. Well, there's a song. There's loads of songs, I've noticed. But there's a song by a band called U2. And the bassist in U2 is called Adam Clayton. That's my name. And so sometimes people say to me, you know, they come up to me, are you the Adam Clayton? No, I'm just a Adam Clayton. There's a song about grace. And a line that says, grace finds beauty in everything. And you might not seem very beautiful. I'm not very beautiful. But God finds a beauty in you. He delights over you. He loves you with an unending love. He breaks all the chains. You come with everything, all your baggage, whether it's hidden or whether it's out in the open, and grace covers it. It covers it. It covers me, and it covers you, and it covers even you, and it covers even me. So we are captive. But Jesus sets us free. I just had a sense in that song, like Jesus breaking the chains. There's sometimes we kind of live a bit like this. You know, we're going to love a little this much. You know, we've got to give this much. And we know this much of God's love. But he says he breaks every chain. And so we can experience that much of God's love and that much of his grace. You know, whether you know God or you don't know God, his grace is sufficient for all your needs today. I've been given some wonderful gifts over the years. And some have been lovingly, and some have been sacrificially given, and they cost a lot. And we might share our joy about a particular gift that someone's given it with our friends and our family. We might share it with a stranger on a bus trying to make their way home. And we might tell them about a good gift that's been given to us. So, what do we do about this grace gift? This gift of love that is overwhelming. This by grace we have been saved. Through faith is not what we've done. God's given us this gift of grace. Do we share it? Do we tell others about it? Do we show grace to other people? Well, the Bible goes on to say in that passage that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And if you're feeling not really lovely today, or not really worthy to receive this, because someone might, my mother-in-law tried to buy me an ice cream, and I was going, No, I don't know. I don't need an ice cream, you know, with a flake. I don't need that. You know, I'm not worthy enough for an ice cream. So you might, if I offered you an ice cream, you know, I'm fine. I'm on a diet, really. I'm not really on a diet, but, you know, you don't want to give me an ice cream. But we say God's given you this gift of grace, this undeserved gift, the salvation of your soul, a promise of a home in heaven, peace with God. You might feel that you are a little bit unworthy to receive that. But the passage encourages and says, you're God's workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus. How do you feel about yourself now? You know, you might say, well, I know a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who knows a guy who played in a band once on stage and everything. But you're God's workmanship. He made you and he loves you and he knows you and he still loves you. You're God's workmanship. That is just a bit wow, isn't it? You know, God, whose love really matters, really loves you. God, whose love really matters, whose love is the only one that really matters, he really, really loves you. And if you feel you've been blessed by God's love and God's grace, if you accept this promise that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it wasn't you, it was God, then he's blessed you. That is a good thing. And he's blessed you to be a blessing. He's given you that grace so you can show grace to other people. To go and do everything in love. And to show undeserved favor. To treat people unfairly. More than they deserve. Because you have been treated in an undeserving way. And you're all going to fail at that. We're all going to fail at that. You might fail by the time you've actually turned around and said hello to the person next to you. You know, but there's grace. And Tim said last week in the morning, there's grace. And when we fail, there's grace. But just believe that grace and accept and receive it, that it's that free gift from God. And that he can break your chains. Whether it's coming to him and saying, God, I need you. You know, I don't know you. I know I'm not right with you. He can set you free, sets the captive free. If you find him that you're overwhelmed, he can set you free. And he will set you free because his grace is enough. And he's commanded us to go and love other people. He's commanded us to tell other people about him. So go in love and go in grace and show grace to other people. Undeserved favor. And when they say, why are you doing this for me? You can say, because God first loved me. This is love. Not that I love God, but that he loved me and gave his love as an atoning sacrifice for my sins. It's not about me. It's about God and his grace. And he loves you. All of you. Ash, he loves you. So go in love. Go in grace. Go in peace. I just thank you for listening to me. But let's just listen to God. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I believe you're here with us. I believe by your Spirit you're with us. And that you want to set us free. You want to break the chains that bind us. You want us to receive your grace, to know this, a free gift. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for the way that you treat us as we don't deserve. Come and set us free, Lord Jesus. Help us to receive this grace even now. Heavenly Father, help us to do business with you. Help us not to miss an opportunity. We just claim this time for you. Lord, and as we worship, would we just build a throne? Would we lift you up? Would we go in grace? In Jesus' name, amen.